Bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 278, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. And the tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 278, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Job, the 38th chapter, Job chapter 38. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe and Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors, when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? And when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know its place, and that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof? Knowest thou it because thou wast then born? Or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain upon the earth, where no man is, on the wilderness, wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice, and the hoary frost of heaven, who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Mazzaroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? And when the dust groweth into hardness and the clods cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions, when they do couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provideth for the raven his food, when his young ones cry unto God? They wander for lack of meat. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty Maker, Creator of the heavens and of the earth, and also the upholder thereof, as we may read in thy holy word, who does guide all things moment by moment in this universe, and who also has at thy power every man and every beast, the creation, rational and irrational, all to serve thy decree, thy purpose, that thou wilt fill to bring in a people, even that people whom thou hast elected, from that never begun eternity in thy counsel of peace, all things working together for good to them that love thee. O, to thee we are called to pray, to thee we are called to approach. Give us then in our hearts a feeling sense of thy greatness and of our own iniquity, that we may in truth humble ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee, and come to thee in a right way, and that thou may instruct each and every one of thy children in that rest which is in thee, when they may lay everything in thy hands for the provision of their life, for the need of their soul, against every enemy, as we may read it also, For thou reservest the very hail of the heavens, and that it may do thy will in fighting against the enemy of thee and of thy people, so that there is not a care that is in the heart of thy children, that they may not leave all with thee. And then, Lord, they have in this way an easy life. For then, even as a little child may look unto his father, and there to trust that all things shall be done for his welfare and for his good. Oh, may it be also in the heart of thy dear children, and that they may be given so to rest in thee. But then it is necessary that they know something for their own life. For if we stand yet on the outside of it, and we are not included in that vine to be engrafted therein, then all things shall testify against us that we may receive here below. And in the end, thy might and thy power, and that shall also be exerted against us, when thou wilt command thy angels to gather the wicked, and to cast them out, and to burn them, and to bring thy wheat into thy barn. Oh, that we may be given a feeling sense of our wretchedness outside of thee, and that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life, and when we may feel something of the seriousness of that time in which we are living, and that we are traveling to a great eternity, and that that ever flowing stream of time, we cannot stop nor slow, but that our time is also going to come to its end. Oh, this time of preparation, Lord, that is so very, very precious. But by nature we have blind eyes and we cannot see. Oh, that thou may open those eyes in this day, and that thou may draw us indeed, that we might run after thee, and that we would not go on as a stock and as a block over this world, even under the preaching and the reading of thy holy word, week by week, day by day, even with all our religion and bowing our knees and singing thy praises. Oh, then it shall all be to burn as a gnawing worm to all eternity, when we are yet without thy favor and thy blessing on that day that we have to die. Oh, teach us, Lord, then draw us, and we will run after thee. Turn us, and we shall be turned. Seek us out as the Alpha, as the beginning. And wilt thou be that sovereign God that is so necessary to be experienced in the life of the dead and those that are rebellious and have no desire and cannot be turned in their will? Oh, then it is alone thy will that is able to make it different. Come thou then in thy mercy to us and to our dear children. Wilt thou remember us as a denomination also? Could it please thee to send forth more servants into thy vineyard, that they also may come from the midst of the congregations, when thy work that will be manifest, and that fathers also and young children may be converted unto thee, that we may receive a God-fearing office bearers and God-fearing mothers and fathers and teachers and ministers to go before the congregations. And could it please Thee to send them also to those places where Thy word is not known, and that Thou may look upon us also in the nations in which we live. Do look upon the nation of the Jews. Oh, Thou knowest everything that comes against them, how that the enemy would destroy them, and that enemy that is so widespread over this world. Lord, Thou art able to graft that people in again. Oh, that we may not boast ourselves against them as those that have received Thy favor, but could it please Thee to open their eyes and that they may once again embrace Thee in Thy dear Son, and that Thou may send also Thy word to the length and the breadth of the whole world. And may it be that our own rulers may bow before Thee. For Thou knowest the spirit of the world that is evident in the laws also that do get passed in our countries. Oh, that Thou may stop us in our mad career and turn us again, O Lord, Thy power that is so very great. And we have our responsibility as men, but we have no power. But Thou who art able to change the heart and to bring to bow before Thee in a moment, and Thou who wilt fulfill Thy own will through all circumstances, we beseech Thee to remember us and not judge us with our children as we so justly deserve. Look on all afflicted ones, handicapped ones, all those that suffer from serious diseases, all those that have become old and ailing, all widows, widowers, and orphans, and those that have special needs in mind or in body. Look upon the two young friends who hope in the week that is before us to be united in that bond of holy matrimony. Oh, that Thou may give them to feel something of the solemnity of this day that may approach, and that they may need Thee as they do look forward to beginning that life together. Oh, grant them together to be bound at Thy throne of grace, and that they may be given to know together that life by which they shall never be separated, even when they have to die. Look upon all the children and the young people of the congregation, our school, this season that quickly comes to an end, and that Thou may give strength to continue to the last, and wilt Thou grant Thy blessing upon all of those labors. Be with us once again in this afternoon hour. Lord, help us to speak and help us to listen, and drive out the buyers and the sellers. It depends not upon men for Thy blessing, but it all awaits upon Thee. And the light that comes from Thee, it cometh not from us. Oh, then look on us in this afternoon in Thy mercy, and take reasons out of Thyself to favor us with an indispensable blessing, forgiving all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, We'll sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. We announced that there was a mistake in the bulletin, the wedding of Adrian Fader and Cheryl Milan. This Friday, the Lord willing, is not at 2:30, but at 2 o'clock p.m. Psalter 204, all stanzas.
Thank you.
Congregation, we read in God's Word of a time that the Lord delivered the Syrians into the hands of the children of Israel. And then we read that Ben-Hadad with his princes came out to meet King Ahab. But there was a very special way in which they approached unto King Ahab. That is, that they have taken counsel together, that they have spoken together about this way that they would be seen approaching the king. And how was that? We read that was with sackcloth upon their loins and with ropes about their heads. Thus, that was something that they saw as very important when they would be seen coming before this king. Why? Because it said something about what was then living within their hearts, who that they felt themselves to be. And that they said, "We are thy servants," that we acknowledge that we have no rights, and that you may now do with us whatsoever that thy heart pleases. Thus our very approach that is seen, our very approach that is taken notice of as something which is very significant. And if that is so among men, how much more is that not so when we approach unto God? We have mentioned this morning the boldness of that King Uzziah when he went into that temple of the Lord. And we can read how that the Lord Jesus, he speaks about the Pharisee and the publican. And we read how that that publican would approach unto God, that he would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven. And so he received the blessing. The Lord Jesus then taught his disciples when they were to pray also how to make their approach unto God. That is the subject of our Lord's Day for today. Lord's Day 46, questions 120 and 121. Lord's Day 46, question 120. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? Answer, that immediately in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely, that God is become our Father in Christ and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Question 121. Why is it here added, which art in heaven. Answer, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. So far, our Lord's Day. The proper attitude in prayer. First, a childlike reverence and confidence. Second, heavenly conceptions of God's majesty. The proper attitude in prayer. First, a childlike reverence and confidence. Second, heavenly conceptions of God's majesty. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? Commanded us thus, we must ask, who is this that us, that is here being commanded so to address God? We must remember that the Lord has given this prayer at the desire of his disciples. Thus, the Lord is instructing his own children how that they ought to pray. The Lord does not instruct the wicked to call God their Father. When the wicked do call God their Father, that is nothing but a lie. We read in the Bible that the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." And such he does not a call to address God as their father. You say Judas was also among the 12 disciples. That is true. And the Lord Jesus did not take away all of the tares. Not at that time, nor does the Lord Jesus, does the Lord take away the tares even unto this day. And yet, that address, our Father, is not in its substance for the people. A hypocrite can call God his Father, but he cannot make God his Father. And when the true children of the Lord do not dare to call God their Father, then the Father does not therefore cast them out. You say that must be a grief to him when his own children are not able or do not dare to call him their Father. Well, let us be careful, because we also have very many young parents in our midst, and you have children, and you are not offended that your little infant is not able to call you Father. You are not offended because it is a very little infant, and it is not at all your expectation yet that this child should be able to say such a word. And you know that there is still so much that that infant needs to learn, that is to talk and to know indeed what that relation of father-son is, before that it would be expected, before that it would become a natural thing, that such a child would call you his father. Thus, young people, in the world in which that you are growing up in, and when you will go from place to place in this world, then you are going to hear more and more those that do not hesitate to call God their Father. And then those reasons wherefore they do so, they are sounding so plausible, say they, God commands us to call him Father. But God does not command any to call him Father, except that they are truly his children. Thus, do you know that you are a child? We must look at the reality of the church in which we are living, in the day in which we are living, that we must say that even that true church of God that is today in its infancy, and we can expect it to be so also the closer that we come to the end of the world, as the Lord Jesus has instructed, that he says that when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And yet at the same time, there is a Christianity in which we dwell in this world that is boasting itself of things that are so high, but have, we fear, not the foundation, not therefore the right to make such a boast. If you will look in the Bible at God's servant Jacob, that was a man who feared the Lord from his youth, and he was likely close to 100 years old when he has returned once again unto his country with his family that the Lord had given unto him. And that man, before that he came to Peniel, when he approached unto God, he did not even dare to call God his God, but that he addressed God as the God of his father. Thus, then he did not dare to take one step above that which the Lord had taught him for himself, for his own soul in his life. On the other hand, the Lord teaches, the Lord instructs his own children to say, "Our Father." What greater comfort can we have in our whole life than to know that God is our Father? And there are times that a true child, even by times in their infancy, may feel something of his fatherhood. That is, in the exercise of that true saving faith. We know that there is not a faith that they have in their own power, and that is a faith that sometimes the Lord gives in exercise, and that often is not in exercise. Thus, there may be times wherein that soul that is so drawn unto God that he may feel something of his nearness, his presence, his favor, his communion, that even without contemplation, that the Lord gives to them, even to address him as Father. And yet, so soon afterwards, with so many accusations of the devil, that they do not know how that they have ever dared to say so. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father, that immediately in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God? Thus, there are attitudes that our fathers say need to be excited in his people. There is an attitude that is not always living in that people, and that may also be excited in that people by the address wherewith they may approach unto God. What is the attitude? We read here in the first place, a childlike reverence. They were thinking, children, a childlike reverence. When we go from place to place in this world today and see all the children and the youth of this world, then we wonder if they would understand what this means anymore. And we certainly hope in your young life that you still understand what these words mean. A childlike reverence. Thus we ask, how do you approach unto your father and to your mother? Not all that we hear is good. Not all that we hear from the mouth of a child to his father and to his mother can be placed under this, what it says, a childlike reverence. When you will go to your home and then look up in the Bible, that place where Abraham brings his son Isaac, he was no little child anymore, where he brings his son Isaac, and where that boy addresses his father, and ask yourself if he does not address his father with a childlike reverence. And go to that place in God's word where you read of that young Samuel. He was brought up not by his own father, but as Eli as a father. And where he runs unto Eli as a small child, taught by the Lord. The Lord appeared to him, and he addresses Eli, ask yourself, how do I approach my father and my mother? So, our fathers, they speak about a childlike reverence. And when it will be right, parents, in our families, and we will instruct our children also, not allow them to approach unto us in any other way than a childlike reverence, then we give them also to understand something of how that our fathers are saying that a man must approach unto God. Because so they say, that the Lord will have his own children to approach unto him with such a childlike reverence. For that reason, he says that we must become even as a little child. That is, not only to revere father and mother, but it is also a childlike confidence. Childlike confidence. Children, you confide in your mother, you confide in your father. Why is that? Because your father and your mother, they love you. Then there are things that you will say to your mother, at least we hope so, and we hope it remains that way also for you young people, because also when you become older, then they remain your father and your mother, and that love that never changes. And there are things that a child will say to his father and to his mother that he will not say to anyone else in the whole world. When it is right, we read of a different time coming. When it is right, then a child, then a father or a mother will never betray their child. And that is now the reason that that child, he has this confidence. Because he feels something of that love, and he knows that he will never be betrayed by his father and by his mother. So the Lord, he will have his children, we read, to approach unto him. That is, with that same childlike confidence, that they are able to say to him those things which they are not able to say to any other man or woman or person in this whole world. That they may receive the freedom to be so open that they may lay all the burden of their heart and all the sin and all the iniquity, also those things that they would never say to anyone, and now to lay that whole case of theirs before the Lord. And what is now that little child assured of when he may so approach his mother and his father? He may be assured of compassion. He may be assured of a listening ear. No, he may not be assured that he will never receive any punishment. But that punishment that is coming out of the heart of a father. And that is what makes that punishment to be bearable. Then he knows that his father, he is, does not have a purpose to slay him, but he has a purpose for his good. And so what do we read and often sing? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Why hath God, Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? Answer, that immediately in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer. Namely, that God has become our Father in Christ, and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. So our fathers, they say, That childhood, that is the foundation of their prayer. Thus, they say prayer needs a foundation. Just like a building that needs to have a foundation, if that building is going to be stable, if that building is going to stand, so also prayer must have a foundation. There must be a reason for which the Lord is even able to answer the prayer of mankind. What was that foundation in the state of our innocence? How was it possible that God could answer prayer before sin came into the world? That foundation that lay in obedience, that was a covenant of works. And when man would obey, then he had every right to an answer to prayer. After the fall, that entire foundation that has completely been destroyed. Because man, he has left the Lord, rebelled against him, and completely forfeited every reason whereby the Lord could even answer his prayer. What was necessary? A new foundation had to be laid. Was that laid? Yes. In whom? In his Son. What is then the foundation? Or then the people, they become in that beloved Son of God, they become once again a child. That is a foundation of grace. And so the Lord Jesus says, I pray not for the world, but them for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. How then did God answer the prayer of Nineveh? Upon what foundation did the Lord answer the prayer of Nineveh? Was that then upon the foundation that they are a child? You say they were no children. No, they were outside of that blessing. And yet the Lord answered their prayer. What was the foundation? There was another foundation. It was a different foundation. That foundation was the common goodness of the Lord. It's common goodness. That is the reason that the Lord can answer the prayers of anyone who is not his true child. And the Lord, he gives in his common goodness the existence of the entire human race for the sake of bringing in his true children. But that answer does not flow out of the meritorious works of his only begotten Son. It is his common goodness. That is a temporary foundation. It is a foundation, his common goodness to all mankind that is one day going to end. That is when that last one of that true church has been drawn in. But now the foundation in his Son, that is no temporary foundation. That is a permanent foundation. And what do our instructors say? That God will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than Our parents will refuse us earthly things. That does not mean that God gives to all of his children everything that they are asking. We don't read that in God's word. Neither do we do that for our children. Paul asked the Lord, "Wilt thou take away the thorn in my flesh?" And the Lord, he said, "No." But he hears, and he will give unto every one of his children that which in his fatherly wisdom he sees fit for their welfare. Nor will he lay a burden on that people that is too heavy for them to bear. Therefore, the Lord Jesus, he says, if a son will ask any of you that is of a father bread, will he give him a stone? And if he will ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he will ask him an egg, will he give him a scorpion? You which are evil, we know how to give good gifts. How much more will your heavenly Father not give good things unto them that ask of him? That is why that he will have them to approach unto them with this childlike reverence and this childlike confidence. But also more, we see in our second thought, heavenly conceptions of God's majesty. Why is it here added, which art in heaven? Answer, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body, which art in heaven. Thus, immediately, the Lord will have his children to know and to feel there that the Lord is dwelling, that he is in heaven. That there may immediately be within their heart an impression of the great contrast between God and themselves. And that though that they are to approach unto him, even with that childlike reverence and that childlike confidence, then it is not that they should approach unto him in any kind of a way which is common. As, do you not hear it, young people? Do you not hear it from time to time? When man will address God as his Father so easy, and you can hear nothing of that impression that God dwells in heaven, and that man, he will boast to know God even and to be able to approach him as he approaches a friend upon the earth, but the Lord commands also, even to his own children, that they may know and feel and receive that impression immediately that the Lord, he is not upon the earth, but that he is in heaven. Was that not something, how that Jonah, he spoke unto those mariners, and that he says, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Oh, do you not feel then something of what Jonah felt? But also, when Jonah so speaks, then we hear that those mariners, then they also receive such an impression that these men, they are fearing exceedingly. The Lord knows, however, and that his children, they are of the earth, earthy, and he would not have them, we read, to form any earthly conceptions of the heavenly majesty. We read the Lord, he says to the wicked, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself." Is that what we think too? That he is altogether such a one as ourself? This is also something that God's children may be so prone to in all of their carnality as they go through this world. But the Lord will have them in a very special way when they bow before him, that they will consider that it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the heavens, that all men they are before him as grasshoppers. And wherefore, that his arm is not shortened, that it cannot save, that his ear that is not heavy, that it cannot hear. Why will the Lord have the wicked to feel something of his heavenly majesty? That they may fear, that they may tremble. Why will the Lord have his own children to feel something of his heavenly majesty? Our fathers say that they may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. What is the tribulation of the people? Sarah laughed. Can you understand why Sarah laughed? All the hopes, all the expectations for so many years, they had all come to an end. There was no more cry. There was no more prayer that went out of Sarah for that blessing that her heart so desired years ago. But it has all been so cut off and become so impossible, not only for her, but in her estimation, for the Lord himself. Is that not why Sarah laughed? Oh, did not Sarah laugh because she had earthly conceptions of God's majesty? And that she could not feel and believe that his arm that was not shortened? Or have you also earthly conceptions of God's majesty? Have you also earthly conceptions of God's power? You are become old, maybe. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they had also become old. And the Lord gives to them a blessing in their old age, promises to them this blessing, and cannot believe it. He cannot believe it. All those earthly conceptions of God's power, those earthly conceptions of God's majesty, they are displeasing unto the Lord. But are we not full of them? Lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. Children may yet believe and think that their parents are not able, even as much as they may be willing, that their parents are not able, and sometimes they are right. And the Lord will not have his children to fear that there is any provision which he is not able to provide them, that it is not as an earthly parent that can be weak and that can be helpless to fulfill even the promise that they have made, but he will have them to rest in not only his willingness as a father, but also in his ability as a heavenly father, not only for this life that their bread and their water will be sure, but also for another life, that when sin abounds, that grace does much more abound. But let us sing. 283. Good is the Lord and full of kind compassion, most slow to anger, plenteous in love, rich in his grace. To all that humbly seek him, boundless and endless as the heavens above. 2 and 3 of 283. May the unconverted use the Lord's Prayer. May a person use the Lord's Prayer who has no true right to call God his Father. That is a difficult question. This prayer has been given unto God's church. And it has been given in a form that has been given to also a form, that is, to an outward administration of God's church who are called by his name, and in a certain sense are a representation in the midst of the whole world of the children of God. Thus, we would never say that we ought not to use the Lord's Prayer. However, we must understand that when we have no true right, that we also have no true right to the blessings. Thus, it ought to make us to feel that we have no right to remain unconverted. When we are taught to use this prayer and so to address God in prayer, what right have we now under the administration of the Word of God, of his sacraments, to remain outside of him, in rebellion against him, outside of his own children? Is there, congregation, any desire that it would change? Is there any sorrow in our heart that we are not a child? Is there any seeking in our life that we may become a child? May we so address him in this prayer with a heart that says, O Lord, give to me the right to pray such a prayer? Or how do we even approach unto God? Do we come to him as one that has no rights? What is more blessed than to see a child coming unto his Father, approaching unto him in a reverent and in a childlike confidence for all his needs? Congregation, are we a child? Is this not the thing that we need to know? Is it the point that we also want to know, am I his or am I not a child? And how can I know that I am a child? A child is born. A child is born. Does not make himself a child, but he is born. So the Lord Jesus says, children, that we must be born again, not only to be a child of your father and of your mother, but that we may also now be a child of the Lord, that we may also come to call God our Father. Because your Father, he cannot give you everything. He can give you many things, but he cannot give you everything. He cannot give you that thing that is most important. He cannot give you that thing that you ask for every day when you say, Lord, wilt thou give to me a new heart? No, your Father cannot give that to you. Oh, do you ask, Lord, wilt thou also make me a child? Wilt thou also become my Father? That happens in that new birth. And how can we know that a child is born? You will hear it. Because that child, he begins to cry. And why does he cry? Because he is away from his mother. The separation, that is what makes him cry. Is that what makes you cry, congregation? There is an evidence now that we cannot be separated without God in this world. There is an evidence of childhood. A child, when he is born, he begins to breathe. He takes his first breath. Oh, so that is, that he begins to breathe, that first breath that begins to breathe after God. That is the evidence of childhood. As that heart panteth after the water brooks, so longs my soul, so breathes my soul. That is the whole life. Whole life. Later on, you would think that it was not even known anymore sometimes. Just like Solomon in the wicked idol temples. But all in the beginning, every breath, that whole life, they could leave the whole world behind them because the very breath of those little children that is going out after God. How may I know? Oh, there is a hungering and there is a thirsting. Not after the things of this world. Oh, not in the beginning, no. Later, it all comes back again. Oh, wretched man. But in that beginning, oh, then there is a hunger and a thirst after God and all the things that have to do with Him. That He is the bread of life and He is that living fountain of waters. That beginning, that crying, that mourning for sin. Why? Oh, that love is born unto God. No, they cannot say that is my Father yet. No, and yet there is love for Him. Is that not right? Is that not as the natural child? He cannot say it yet, but does he not love his father and his mother? Few months already, he will know the difference between a stranger and his father and mother. And he will begin to cry when that stranger comes. He will go right to father and mother. And now so it is. The love that is born in that heart unto God, that is drawing that people. Do you know something of what it means to be a child? How may we know? What does the Lord place in the heart? Faith. Faith. True saving faith planted in regeneration. Coming under the instruction of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. You say, faith. How may I know if I have faith? What does faith do? Faith believes. Believes. Do you believe? Yes, we all believe something. But do you believe in God? Do you believe in His existence? Or do you believe that He sees you, boys and girls, wherever that you are? Even when your mother cannot see you, when your father cannot see you, that the Lord sees you? There is already the beginning because by nature we do not believe it. We have no true saving faith in God. We begin to believe His word. We begin to believe His law. We begin to desire that law. We begin to submit under that law. We begin to believe that we have to die. We begin to believe that this is a city of destruction. We begin to believe that I have to stand before God. We begin to believe what, boys and girls? I am a what? I am a goat. I am a goat. Then we begin to believe it. That is not just in our minds because we know the doctrine and father and mother have taught it. No, then we begin to believe it. Thus we say, faith, the faith of a child. Do you have the faith of a child? Then we believe God is just. Then we begin to believe that we need a mediator to bring us back to God. Then the Lord reveals such a mediator. Then the Lord shows to us that mediator, that we may know who He is and that we may come to know Him. Do you also have the faith of a child? It is that same faith. No, not all that instruction in one day, but that same faith by which a man comes then to embrace that mediator. That same faith by which the Lord is giving the knowledge of the forgiveness of his sins and the adoption of children, that he brings them again to be his family. And these are led in those precious mysteries to that place that they may be able also to call God their Father, that they may have something of the assurance that is not only in every exercise of faith, but the assurance of faith itself. Congregation, are you a child? Do you know something of the evidences of childhood? Do we have a right to call God our Father? A great blessing. Is that not a blessed people? Is that not an easy people? Is that not an easy life? The life of a child? He has not a care in the world because it is all in the hands of his father and of his mother. Oh, if that church could only live so, that is so to the honor and to the glory of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord says to his people to make your calling and election sure. And then they are able to leave everything, both soul and body, in his hands. That is comfortable, but that is not the most important. The most important is not that we are able to call him Father. That is for our comfort. But the most important is that we are actually a child. Thus, have we desired to be a child? If we are no child, it is still possible to become a child. How? That is by the adoption of children. That is the way of the Lord. And what does the Lord say? He says that the children of Israel, they are going to be just like the sand that is by the seashore. That it is going to be a multitude that no man can number in this world. And in that same place that we have to say that, in that same place, he says, and where it was said unto them, you are not my people. You are not my people. Is that what we have to say today? When we sit in our place, in that house of the Lord, I am on the outside. Is that reality? Or he says, in that place, then it shall be said unto them, you are the children
of the living God. Oh, may that day come. May that day come. And that many, oh, could it be each and every one, may also be called by the Lord Himself. My child, will we not seek it? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, the most precious blessing and benefit to be received in this life between the cradle and the grave. And we can never fathom the greatness of this blessing. Oh, that Thou may show it to us, and that Thou may give a blessed and a holy jealousy in the heart of each and every one, that we would forsake the world and every former friend, and that we may seek, that we may be the child of God. Look on us further in this day. Give us to keep Thy day holy, and bring us safely to our homes. Help us in our labors, each one in the week that lies before us. The mothers in their households, the fathers in supporting their families, the young people in universities or in school, in their labors each day in this world. Keep us from sin, danger, and accident. Give us thoughts of Thee, desires for Thee, a new life, a new heart. For Jesus' sake, amen. 248, 1, 2, and 4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide, and in His shadow safely hide. 1, 2, and 4 of 248. Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.